This is number 18 in the series on beliefs of the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we've come to the section, the gospel. As we've done in all of it, we'll go ahead and read through the statement, then we'll study the scriptures concerning the gospel. The gospel, the word gospel means good news. The gospel is the wonderful message of God's plan for salvation for all mankind through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. The New Testament calls this message the gospel of grace. The gospel of grace is the good news that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and that through His blood all who repent and believe in Him may have their sins forgiven and enter into the family of God. The gospel is also a message about the coming kingdom of God on earth. It is the good news that when Jesus Christ returns to the earth, He will set up the kingdom of God and the government of God. He will rule all nations as King of kings and Lord of lords. The saints who are given immortality at the first resurrection will inherit the kingdom of God with Jesus Christ and will rule and reign with Him as kings and priests. The gospel must be preached to all nations as a witness before Jesus Christ returns and set up His kingdom. Through the preaching of the gospel, God is preparing saints for His kingdom by calling those whom He chooses to repentance and conversion. Okay, let's go through and look at some things here. Let's come to Matthew 24 concerning the preaching of the gospel. And not only does it mean in the prophetic sense of Matthew 24, but it also means in an ongoing sense, as we will see in just a bit. Matthew 24 and verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. Now, since this was given before the fall of Jerusalem, this means from that time forward until the time Christ returns, that the gospel is going to be preached. Let's look at another aspect of preaching the gospel. Let's come to Mark 13, and let's see the parallel account there, and let's see what this says, because God has virtually accomplished this in a great and a profound way. Mark 13 and verse 10. Mark 13 and verse 10. And the gospel must first be preached among all nations. And God has certainly fulfilled His word in that, because the Bible is the, how should we say, it has been the bestseller down through time, if you want to put it that way. And there have been more copies of the Bible produced than today. The Bible is in over 400 languages, the complete Bible, and the New Testament in about 2,200 languages. So God has fulfilled His promise that it would be preached, that it would be published. Now also, let's come here to Matthew 28, last part of Matthew 28, and we will also see that it is to go out continuously, whoever has the knowledge of the truth. And we'll see in just a minute, some people preach it out of contention, some out of sincerity, but nevertheless it is preached. Now let's begin here in verse 18, Matthew 28. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power, which the Greek means all authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So with this authority, He commanded the apostles and disciples, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, and that means the end of the age. That is this present evil age in which we are living. Now, let's come to Acts, the first chapter. And let's see how far that Christ said that it was to be preached. And there have been many people who have gone out there and preached it. And they have given their lives in missionary service and work to carry the Bible, to preach to people, whether in full truth or partial truth, they still got it there. And regardless of what has happened, whether they were Sabbath keepers or Sunday keepers, even where Sunday keepers went and brought the Word of God and preached part of it, out of that, those people in those areas, God also raised up those then who would be Sabbath and holy day keepers, and you can witness the things that have occurred for example, the continent of Africa. Now let's come to Acts, the first chapter, and see how far that it was to be given, how far they were to go into the world. And of course, with today's communication and electronics, it's going to be all that much faster, and it's going to go everywhere. Today, virtually by satellite, you could send it down to the people who are down in Antarctica, which is one of the most remote uninhabited places of the world, but it could still go there today by that. Now let's pick it up here in verse 4 of Acts, the first chapter. Acts 1 and verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them, that is, Jesus commanded them, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, says he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So that's where the gospel was to be preached, and it is today. Let's come to Philippians, the first chapter, and let's read that there are, for the sake of purity of faith, there will always be separations from those who preach heresy or have their own doctrines or strive for control and all of that sort of thing. That's the way that God has made it to keep the body of his true believers pure from the deceptions of Satan the devil. Now, there is, as you probably know, a Christianity of this world which is not of God. Though they use the name of Christ, preach a certain form of Christ, understand certain things of the Bible, live sincere and decent, and in many cases upright lives, that does not necessarily mean that they have been called to salvation. So you need to go back and review those sections concerning baptism and salvation to understand that fully, because God is the one who calls them. Now, let's come here to Philippians, the first chapter, and let's pick it up here in verse 12. This is when Paul was in prison. We don't know exactly where he was in prison, whether it was Caesarea or whether it was Rome, but nevertheless, he was in prison. It is probably, it could be Caesarea or Rome, because in both cases he was in a palace of the Roman Empire. Now, verse 12. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that in my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So here we have brethren speaking. In other words, witnessing. Some indeed preach Christ through envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. So we look out in the world today, and that's still the thing that's going on. You can have those categories of preaching Christ. But you have to discern the true Christ, the true preaching, the true Word of God from all of those things which are false out there, and that's the responsibility God has given to each one of us to do, to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Now, verse 16. The one preaches Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Now, Paul says, what then? Because I'm sure he didn't understand at that time what was going to happen with the great deception coming in. He says, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And that is still true to this day. Whether in pretense or whether sincerely, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. So we have that kind of preaching. However, we know in Galatians that there were people who were leaving the true gospel and following a mixture of truth and error, which this preaching and contention eventually led to. Now, let's come to Acts, the second chapter, not second, but 20th chapter, rather. Not 2, but 2-0. Acts, the 20th chapter, and here we see the Bible definition of the kingdom of God relating to the gospel of the kingdom of God and the gospel of grace tied together. Now let's pick it up here in verse 17, because Greek is strange. If you wrote out Greek or translated it directly the way it is, all in one running-on sentence, and handed it to your English teacher, you would probably get a poor grade for having run-on long extended sentences and too many subjects within one sentence. But nevertheless, this is all one thought that works out. Verse 17, and from Miletus he, that is Paul, sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to them, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. So he had to really watch out for his life. And you know how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but showed you and taught you publicly, and from house to house. That means privately from house to house. This does not mean, as some people who believe in Jehovah Witnessism, that you are to go house to house and bang on the door like trick-or-treaters on Halloween. Verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks repentance towards God, which is the gospel, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the end of that. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that there shall befall me. Save that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. And none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And that's what the gospel is. The gospel of the grace of God. Now notice how that ties in with the next verse, verse 25, which ties it in with the preaching of the kingdom of God. Okay? And now behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, so there it is, gospel of grace and kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. So, this is important, and it ties right into the next section that we have in the beliefs booklet. So, I'll leave it up to you to go through and to look up all the rest of the scriptures and the scriptural reference under the belief section entitled The Gospel.